morning, everybody out there. It's Dr. Andrew Dyer joining you live behind the microphone this morning on a much-anticipated snowpocalypse of a weekend right here live in Dayton, Ohio. Who knows what's really going to happen? Only the good meteorology folks here at WHIO really know, and maybe they don't even know yet. But we can do some things in our office that allow us to be predictable and accurate and better than guessing. And those are tests. Those are tests that we run. You hear me on this show talk a lot about it, and you hear Dr. Merkel and Dr. Ailey as well talking on this program about what we look for in someone's healthy body. Or perhaps someone has come to us after already knowing or receiving a diagnosis where they are no longer really healthy, but they're looking to restore that health in their body. And it doesn't just happen in January, folks. January is actually quite a terrible time in our Dayton, Ohio weather to pursue a New Year's resolution involving fitness. And if those of you are regular gym members out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go in January, you can't hardly find a piece of equipment to use. And by February 1st, the whole place is open to you again. And that's just human nature. We choose these times of the year to start fresh and start new, but it doesn't match up with some of what the body really needs to have happen. And that is springtime. Springtime is a time of renewal. I know we're not in springtime yet, but I can anticipate, right? We can get excited. We can look forward to that. But we have to lay the groundwork now for some of us to even make it to springtime. And I'm not, again, the ambassador of gloom and doom here this morning, but I'm trying to urge you listeners out there, maybe you've listened already to our program for the last 6 or 8 years. Heck, maybe you've been listening for 20 years. And if you haven't been to see a doctor in that amount of time to get a blood test, then you simply don't know how healthy you are. Just because you don't wake up in the morning with a specific set of symptoms has really no bearing and impact on how healthy you are. Because a lot of these things that we test for don't really have a necessary set of signs and symptoms that are going to tip us off in our brain and make us realize, well, if I get out of bed every morning, my right Achilles tendon hurts. Well, that doesn't really maybe indicate the overall bigger problem, which could be a diabetic issue. It could be a chronic inflammatory disease. There could be several things causing or at the root of why that right Achilles tendon hurts. It could also be that you've just been playing too much pickleball this time of year. That could be too. But with testing that's objective and done in a third-party lab where I have no vested interest in the outcome of the test other than to receive the results so that I can make a proper analysis and then sit down with our patients and get them on the right protocol and program to improve their health, that's the only vested interest I have in it, is doing my job correctly as a doctor. And doctor, if you know the word, and I'm not a big root origin guy for words, but if you look up the word doctor, at its very root, it means teacher or to teach. Now, when we go through chiropractic college and even get certified in clinical nutrition and chiropractic acupuncture, all those certificates and degrees and postgraduate studies I've finished, they don't teach us how to teach, but they teach us how to recognize patterns and develop reliable treatment protocols so that we can utilize those with patients that we see time and time again. And yes, a lot of it is pretty standard stuff. I mean, we see patients from all different walks of life with all different diagnoses, whether it's high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid dysfunction, problems with sleep, maybe low mineral levels like calcium and magnesium leading to bone demineralization, so osteopenia, osteoporosis, stomach and GI issues. We take care of a lot of patients that have cancer as well. And so utilizing those tests really helps cut through the guesswork of trying to decide, you know, what particular dietary approaches or nutrient options this patient might have to go forward and try to help restore their health once they've lost it. I've known several really, really wealthy individuals in my circle of life since I've moved here to Miami Valley 20 years ago. And the one gentleman I'm particularly thinking of right now, I don't know how many millions of dollars he had in the bank, but I know it was several. And he was diagnosed with a condition that was a neurological insult to his body. Similar to a Lewy body dementia. I don't remember his exact diagnosis, but he met with several of the most highly acclaimed specialists in this country to try to help him get his health restored. And they told him there wasn't one single thing they could do for him. And he had more money in the bank than he could have spent in three lifetimes to try to restore his health, and it couldn't save him. And I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I think he did all the things within his power to try to get well, but it didn't work, and it couldn't work. But what if his planned approach from an early age, say 25, going forward, I think he passed in his upper 60s, maybe he made it to the early 70s, but at age 25, how healthy your body and brain and heart and lungs and kidneys and liver, how healthy all those internal organs are at age 25 has a dramatic influence on how healthy you will remain into your 7th, 8th, and potentially even 9th decade of life. So if you're a younger person sitting around today listening to us on talk radio, I commend you, for one, for turning on talk radio. I didn't start listening to talk radio till I started being on talk radio. But if you're tuning in and you're under age 30, this is your time to shine from a health perspective. You may not have the luxury of thinking, well, I'm going to make it to 65 and then I'll retire and I'll punch out of my office for the last time and then I'll start focusing on my health at that point. It's really the wrong mindset. And it's the wrong mindset because why would you want to labor away for 40 years in whatever chosen profession or job you can find or enjoy, or maybe you don't even enjoy it, but you've just toiled away for 40 years of your life, saving your money, potentially getting your annual checkups, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But when you get to that point of retiring at age 65, if you haven't done the work in the four decades previous to that, there's no guarantee you make it to 68. I mean, how many times have we heard stories of people in our inner circle where they retire and shortly thereafter they find out devastating health news about their body that, you know, potentially they won't make it even 6 or 12 months longer? And that's horrible for them. It's horrible for their families. But was it really a problem they created in the last 3 years of their working career? Or did the problem really begin 40 years prior? And I'm not talking about some slow-growing tumor that's been present for 40 years. That's not what I mean at all. But I mean the fast food lunches, too much soda pop, too much coffee, too much alcohol. If you never missed a happy hour, you never missed a bourbon tasting, you never missed a wine tasting, all those type of alcohol consumption choices we make contribute to declining health years down the road. Sure, it affects you in the hours after you decide to live that way, but we're talking long term here, folks. We're talking, what is that going to do to our brain 20, 30, 40 years down the line? That's what I'm trying to get you to kind of conceptualize today. And there's a lot of medical research out there actually that shows these things that I'm talking about, the health of your body at age 18, even up to age 25, from the articles I've seen are specifically speaking towards the topic of body mass index. So the BMI rating, and we measure that in our office on our in-body machine. There's various ways to measure it, but measuring your BMI is just one data point in figuring out how healthy your body is, but that's simply measuring height and weight. So those are two really simple, easy, quick data points to get, height and weight. I mean, we take that on every new patient that we see in our office. So height and weight, super easy. But those are just the intro to the verifiable lab data that we're going to use to help this patient get on the right track. And if you've got BMI concerns already when you're between those ages, like I'm talking about, 18 to 25, you're going to have some much more significant problems down the way when you get to 55 and beyond. So urging you today to not just make January your 1 month of New Year's resolution that you actually stick to, but you've got to find something out there that keeps you excited about exercising from a cardiovascular fitness perspective as well as a muscle training perspective. Whether that means getting together with friends or loved ones and playing recreational games, ultimate frisbee, run around on the pickleball court, taking a walk in your neighborhood, you name it, you got to try it and you got to find out what it is you like. And if you're a person that knows that you get burned out quickly on a specific exercise routine, don't pour all your money into one avenue there. Don't go out and buy a $4,000 Peloton bike that's probably just going to be a dust collector up in your kid's playroom. But do something that allows you to be out and active every month throughout the year, whether that means going indoors to work out for a couple months during this crazy winter cold that we're having, or whether or not you just get all the right gear and you still go out and walk in your neighborhood. There are about two or three people that I see in my neighborhood in Springboro every single day outside walking, no matter how cold it is. Yeah, they've got the right gear on. Sometimes they're out walking their dog, but whatever they're doing, they're getting out and they're getting moving. And if that's not what you're doing, give it a closer look. I'm here live this morning, so that gives me the unique ability to be able to take your calls. If you have a call and you want to talk to us here after this first break coming up, you can call us at the studio. The number here is 937-457-1290. So give us a call. We'll take your calls. I am Dr. Andrew Dyer. If you didn't hear me say that at the beginning, I welcome you into the program. I'm a doctor of chiropractic. I've been with Take-Two Healthcare for 20 years. We're going to take our first break right now. Ian's got us queued up, and we'll be back after this. Thanks for listening on WHIO.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with...
And we are back. Thank you very much, Ian. We're going to go right to a caller, Michael in Dayton. You're on with Dr. Dyer. How can I help you?
Well, Dr. Dyer, I've been listening to y'all's program for a while, and I'm 76, and I've got, you know, a lot of the things that people my age are going through, fighting off diabetes, okay. Taking metformin. My last A1C, I think, was 6.4.
Okay.
I'm on Losartan for blood pressure, and... Tamsulosin for benign prostate enlargement, and let's see, Naprosyn for
joint arthritis. Inflammation. Yeah, joint inflammation.
And anyway, I'm interested in getting some testing and trying to get off these medications, trying to change my health, cleanse my liver, whatever's necessary.
Sure.
But I'm on Social Security. And I got a limited income, and I understand these blood tests are pretty expensive. Is there any way to, do those so many at a time so you don't hit your bank account all at once?
Yeah, good question. I can speak to all that. It's common, like you said, in your age group that people that are, you know, dealing with some of these problems like you are, whether prediabetes is there, urinary dysfunction, blood pressure issues, and the like. I mean, that's called metabolic syndrome when we wrap all that up together. And to the point of, you know, paying for blood testing, it's an out-of-pocket expense, certainly. Typically, when we keep our full panel together, which is a 58-point panel, so we get 58 blood markers all in one shot, that blood test itself runs a couple hundred dollars, and then we're going to have some other included fees with the time to meet and put the report together and all things considered. So you might see a total cost of between $800 and $1,000 to cover everything we're going to do. So from that perspective, I mean, it's just a kind of a planning ahead for that expense. There's not really like do this kidney panel now, do this liver panel later. It's kind of a better to see it all at one time. So whenever you're able and capable of that, we'll be able to be there to take care of you.
Okay. Well, it sounded like from what one of your other associates said that the total panel was something like $3,000.
That can be the case when we add in other things like cancer profiles and cardiac profiles and things of that nature. Uh-huh. But our basic panel doesn't run that much. It just all depends on after we meet and kind of go through what your past health history looks like and then to kind of determine the best path for you. There's all different ways to acquire those numbers. But, yes, that is the top line of cost. But it can be a bit lower than that.
All right. And so what do I do to get an initial consultation?
Oh, you just give our office a call on Monday morning. Now, Monday morning this week's going to be a little tricky because we might be snowed out. But if you'll wait till Tuesday morning and call, we can take care of you. And I can give you the phone number now, or you can look it up on the web, whatever you prefer.
Okay. Yeah, I might be snowed in.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all might be. All right, Michael, thanks for the call, man.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
You bet. Absolutely.
Bye.
No problem. See ya. Okay, we got another call. We're going to get him after the break because we're cruising up on another one, but we're going to keep rolling just a little bit here. I've got a article I found this morning that I wanted to share because it's what we've been telling patients for a long, long time in our practice, and that is the American College of Cardiology, so ACC, not the Atlantic Coast Conference for basketball and football, but the ACC, American College of Cardiology, report that they put out this week highlights how the C-reactive protein marker in the blood is a key cardiovascular risk marker. Now, high-sensitivity CRP testing is emerging as a significant predictor of cardiovascular disease risk. Well, I kid you not, we've been doing this test on people for the 20 years that I've been in our practice, and Dr. Merkel's been using it even before I got there. So he's been testing this on patients 30 to 40 years now. And we've almost always in that time told patients that this blood marker is a better predictive value for putting someone on that scale of risk related to heart attack and stroke risk, so cardiovascular disease prediction. Extensive research shows that patients without prior CVD, which is cardiovascular disease, who have elevated CRP, C-reactive protein, face higher risks for CVD development. So if you have that particular blood marker that's rising in your blood, that is a better indicator to us than cholesterol findings for putting you on that high risk profile of heart attack or stroke risk being higher and more elevated than the normal population. So with that becomes a new set of treatment options from us. And now something I don't really agree with in this study said, as you go on and read it further, they say statin drugs are going to help lower CRP. I've never seen that be the case. I have plenty of patients that I take care of that have come in on statin drugs and when they're on them, it's almost unaffecting that CRP. Because it comes back high even when they're on the drugs. So I don't think that that's the case at all, but we'll see what the studies show in the coming years. We're going to take another quick break here. We're going to be back after this. You're listening to Dr. Andrew Dyer on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Boom, and we are back. Thank you very much. Dr. Andrew Dyer here with you live this morning in studio, and we're about to go to Robert in Oakwood. Robert, you're on with Dr. Dyer. How can we help you, sir?
Oh, thank you. I'm 86 years old. I take no medications. I do have a pacemaker. I wondered what your opinion was of the shingles vaccine.
Okay, I can give you that opinion, no problem. I wanted to know from you, what would be the purpose behind it for you at this point in time? Have you had shingles outbreaks? Or are you trying to prevent future outbreaks?
Oh, I was trying to prevent, and my daughter thinks that I should take it to prevent future outbreaks. I've never had shingles, and I had a very, very light case of chickenpox years ago.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that information helps a lot because, you know, the topic of vaccination can be a really thought-provoking one. Because there's people that stand on two different opposing sides to this issue, and that's okay. But just to kind of get a little bit more of that background, it helps me understand kind of where you're coming from with it. Now, the shingles vaccine is an interesting one. I'm not necessarily a fan. I'm also not necessarily not a fan, but I just need to understand a little bit more. So at age 86, the fact that you had a very weak appearance of chicken pox probably back 7 decades ago doesn't really matter so much. But the connection there is when you have chicken pox of any type of severity, you're going to have that latent virus hang out in those nerves next to the spine for the rest of your life. And so when the immune system then comes down in function is when we typically see a shingles outbreak occur. Now, the really nasty outcome of a shingles outbreak, especially for people in your age group being 80 and above, is when it affects the eyes. Shingles that gets into the eye can be not only very uncomfortable, but can cause some really significant side effects around vision loss and distortion of vision. So my one angle of considering it for you might be on the level of protecting vision, but I'll do you one better with a thought of, what if we looked at your vitamin D status? What if we looked at the overall health of your system that you have working right now? So sugar markers for diabetes, liver health, white blood cells, vitamin D status. If you were a patient of mine in our office, I would have all that data in front of me to evaluate and then be able to give you a much more significant and specific answer that fits your particular profile. And what I mean by that is you might be a person that, because of good, healthy white blood cell balance and good protein balance in your blood, you might be at a relatively low risk for shingles outbreak anyway. But even knowing those statistics, it can be a little bit up to not necessarily chance, but it's hard to predict for sure who's going to get shingles and who's not. Now, this new shingles vaccine, I do feel like compared to the old ones that they had even 10 years ago, is much more effective in stopping the virus from showing up. But we don't know yet the long-term side effects associated with that shot. And so I'm kind of being on the fence here because I think situationally this injection could be helpful to some, although it's tough to determine, and you often won't be able to predict the side effects that will occur prior to receiving the treatment. And at that point in time, it becomes difficult to reverse some, if not all, those side effects. So the decision is really unique to what you decide. It shouldn't necessarily be your daughter's choice unless she has a power of attorney for you, but that's getting into a whole different issue. So hopefully I gave you some food for thought without making the decision for you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Hey, you bet, Robert. Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that very much.
All right.
You take care. Have a good one.
Thank you.
And that was fun. I mean, it's good in that situation to be able to have an intelligent discussion around what's needed for each patient, because in medicine, whether we're talking about vaccines or medications people take orally or through other routes daily, there's not always a titration level that occurs per the size of the patient. So basically everybody that signs up to get a shingles vaccine is going to get the exact same dose, whether you're a little 85-pound female that's 65 or whether you're a 350-pound male that's 85. There's no change in that dosage. They all get the same amount. The shingles vaccine is the shingles vaccine per dosage. And so that's one thing that can be alarming to some when they're considering, you know, how do I make this therapeutic choice for myself without doing harm to my system and potentially without, you know, allowing this condition to harm my system. So a shingles outbreak can be very, very painful. But typically if it's not in the eyes, it's going to be a self-limiting condition that goes away within a few weeks, if not a few months. Now, this new vaccine they're saying is 90% effective. Well, I guess how do we know that? Because they're going to do it in a laboratory setting. They're going to follow these people for maybe 12 months. And if they don't get an outbreak in 12 months, they're going to say, well, yeah, 90% of people didn't get an outbreak in a year. But this is something that once you take it, you should be getting conferred protection for quite a long period of time. And so the studies are kind of skewed in the direction we maybe not necessarily are thinking we want to agree with, because they're not being done objectively. Now, that's a whole different topic for a whole nother day, but I wanted to talk about some testing, of course, that I talk about all the time on this show, but I don't often talk about the patient that is me. If you heard me on January 3rd or the first weekend of the year, I did the show that day live. And I was telling people that I was going to go get my blood test updated. It had been a couple years past my last time I was due. Not a couple years. I was a year past due when I was getting this done. So looking at my blood test markers, I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything big. And I did let it go just a little too long. I had gone to the lab twice, actually. Within that period of time when I was a little bit delinquent in getting my test done, and I didn't have time enough to stay there to get the testing done. I know that's a terrible excuse, and I hear that from patients all the time. I was like, I just couldn't get in there on the morning of a work day because 5 days a week, I'm in the office at 8 o'clock, and the lab only opens at 7:30. Regardless of that, I looked at all 58 of my markers, and then I actually drew a few more. I looked at some basic hormone stuff, and I looked at a cancer profile. And happy to report, whether you like hearing my voice here on Saturday or not, all my cancer markers turned out really good. So for the foreseeable future, I'll be your guest host at least once or twice a month. I'm excited about that. Hopefully you listeners are as well out there. But, you know, I wanted to get a good, again, kind of, I'll say, general picture of my overall health. But this was way more specific than your average physical would do. So if your New Year's resolution involved going in to get reacquainted with your family doctor again and have him draw his normal standard blood markers on you, which will typically equate to about 18 to 22 markers. And sometimes insurance covers that bill, and sometimes it doesn't, depending upon how it's coded and what kind of symptoms you're having. If you came in to see us, you're going to get about three times that amount of blood work for a pretty reasonable cost. And we talked about costs with Michael earlier in the program. It runs around $800 to $1,000 to do our kind of our basic standard workup. And then if we add in cancer profiles and hormone profiles, then things change a little bit on the cost part. But if you become a patient in our office, you will always know the price that you are going to be asked or expected to pay prior to testing. It's not like going into a magic specialist's office where they're going to recommend this test or that test or that test. And if you submit it through insurance and it doesn't cover, then you're stuck with the bill and you never even knew what the bill was going to be ahead of time. Every time before a patient leaves our office, they know the exact amount they're going to pay and the reasons why and what they're going to get for that cost. So that becomes a valuable way to service people in the healthcare industry that are really not used to that kind of transparency and pricing. And this kind of approach could really revolutionize where we're at with healthcare, not only in this country, but really around the world. If we were able to give the consumer, who is the patient, a cost up front, then they could more easily determine how to afford these things or when they could afford these things. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? You don't go in to buy a car and just sign up for a new 5 Series BMW without ever dickering on the price. And there's no back and forth in the pricing on laboratory testing, but you know ahead of time how much it will cost. You don't show up at the car lot and say, yeah, I'll just take one of your new BMWs. I don't care how much it costs. At least I've never been in that position yet. Maybe some of you out there are, and that's great for you. But in my blood testing, vitamin D was optimal. So I'm 73.5 on that. Last time I tested, I was 77.6. So I'm just a little bit down from a previous year. Testosterone level is normal and optimal. And like I said, all cancer markers were good, normal, optimal, and healthy. Didn't have any signs of infection. My C-reactive protein was at 1.0. So heart attack and stroke risk relatively low. Cholesterol total was just a slightly over where that healthy range stops, kind of in that low 190s or high 190s range, I should say. And so with that information, I also saw healthy liver markers, markers for healing and repair of liver and bone, muscles, and other cellular enzyme activity, all clear and clean. And I wanted to do this test at the beginning of the year for a couple different reasons. One, I wanted to see how I was doing. And two, I needed more lecture material because coming up in April, I'm going to be a guest presenter at University of Dayton in their Oxshire School for Lifelong Learning. So seniors in this area can sign up and take seminar courses for no charge. I think some of them have like a $40 fee to cover the materials for the class. Mine doesn't have any fee associated with it that I know of. But I'm going to be down at UD two Tuesdays in April to present a lecture on clinical nutrition cases and my practice to see what kind of other people we can share the word with and who else needs our help out there. But that was part of the motivation for me behind running this blood test on myself, was so that I could easily take it into the classroom and without violating HIPAA for any of my patients, put my blood test up on the screen and say, okay, if this blood test doesn't look familiar to you with what you get done every year at your doctor's visit, maybe you need a new and different doctor. So that's going to be one of the things I talk about. But we're going to talk about a lot of different case studies. We're going to talk about clinical approaches to management of chronic disease like diabetes, arthritis, hypertension. List goes on and on. I haven't fully prepared that lecture yet, but I'm working on it. So If that's something that sounds interesting and intriguing to you, make sure you check out the course catalog at University of Dayton for the Lifelong Learning Institute. Those lectures will happen in April. I have another one coming up in February up at the Tip City Senior Center. I think you do have to be a member through that group. So if you're not a member of the Tip City Senior Center, maybe jump on their website, figure out how to become a member there. But I'm lecturing it on February 10th, which is a Tuesday, in the middle of the day during their lunchtime get-together. I'll be presenting some case studies on some great cases from my practice, again, with Alzheimer's, dementia, other forms of cognitive impairment. It's really a lecture on the aging brain. And, again, without being the ambassador for gloom and doom, it's really more about things that we can do today to make our bodies healthier as we move forward in the next coming years, months, years, and then decades. So a couple good exciting things coming up and things that we're looking forward to around the practice. But we're going to take another break here. And when we finish with that, we'll share another couple minutes with you before we wrap up and get excited for UD basketball coming your way shortly. So you've been listening to Dr. Andrew Dyer this morning on AM 1290 and News 95.7, Dayton's News and Talk on WHIO. To finish, get my focus back. Here we go. It is an honor and a privilege every time a new patient comes in our office. For whatever they're seeking our help with, it truly is an honor and a privilege. But in some cases, it just feels different. And in this particular case I'm going to talk about, and I know we only have a few minutes left, and there's not that much detail to share yet, but this patient is actually a fellow chiropractor. Now, he doesn't practice here in the area. He practices out of state. And he was a friend of Dr. Merkel's, not a friend of mine yet, but I'm getting to know him now because I'm in charge of his case. And my job is not to become his friend. My job is to be his doctor. And that's the reason why he's in my practice to begin with. He was a friend of Dr. Merkel's. They used to chum around together back in grad school. And then this doc called him and said, I've got a potentially life-altering, life-threatening diagnosis of cancer, and I need your help. And Dr. Merkel did really a great thing for this patient. He said, okay, well, I can help you right now. We'll get you started on some things while we wait on getting your tests back. Because a case like this is way too important and way too significant to guess on. In fact, we don't guess on any of our patient cases. We test everybody because we want to know for sure if what we're thinking about and what we're seeing in their intake and exam findings is really truly what's happening. And we can only get that with the verifiable data we do from a blood test, hair test, urine, or stool test. And so this particular patient, like I'm mentioning, has a diagnosis of cancer. Well, he lives out of state, but that's okay. We're able to meet on the phone, on Zoom. We have online capabilities to stay in touch with him. And I've only had one conversation with him so far, and that was after we got his blood testing back. And I'll tell you, when I looked at his blood testing, there were some concerning markers there. There were some highlights in blue, meaning code blue or emergency values for things indicating that the cancer is really kind of running amok right now in his body, wreaking havoc and creating a pro-inflammatory state. His immune system was incredibly off balance. Super high findings for the poison neutrophils, about 30% higher than they should be. And that's showing the body's really trying to fight hard to get this foreign invader known as cancer out of the system. And I'll say this right off the bat, I'm not his only doctor in this. He's got a team of oncology physicians in his native state that are helping him navigate the waters on that front. And he is undergoing some standard treatments there. But I'm helping to co-manage his case alongside his oncology team to help give him the best possible outcome he can get. Because if you look at this particular cancer with staging and grading information, his 5-year survival percent chances are not very good. They're not very good at all. But it doesn't hurt to try to help early on. And that's where we got to this as quickly as we could. Now, he's been battling with this now for, I think, about 4 to 6 months already. And when I last talked to him a couple weeks ago, he was a few rounds of chemo in and has a few more rounds to go in this initial phase to then get back and get another scan to see what kind of effects have been made. But we're going to do another follow-up blood test on him here probably within the next few weeks to chart his progress and to give him hope, because that's really what it's all about in this particular case. Are we expecting a miracle? Yes, I am. I absolutely am. But we got to keep working hard and continue to see his markers improve and get better. So if you were able to listen to us all the way from the beginning today, thank you for joining. If you missed some of the program, go back and grab it on the podcast or the WHO website. And stay safe this weekend. Get some good food in the refrigerator and just stay home and watch football tomorrow. You're listening to Dr. Andrew Dyer this morning on WHIO.